It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and I'm joined by Andrew McMahon. Andrew, welcome.
How's it going, Sky?
You were waiting for me to finish with Andrew McMahon in the wilderness, right?
Well, I suppose when it's just me sitting in here, it's probably a little bit easier to just call me by my name. That's fine.
Well, let's talk about the fact that you told me earlier there was a notion behind naming the project Andrew McMahon in the wilderness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of an interesting deal when I'd been making records for major labels for, 11 years at the time that I kind of, closed the book on Jack's Mannequin and moved on from there. And it was sort of this rude awakening, and it was actually a welcome awakening, but it was this moment where I was like, okay, there are a lot of things that people have been doing for me. and there are a lot of, there's just sort of a lot of functions of the everyday that I sort of took on myself. And it was just about, I think this project and this whole chapter of my music has been about sort of finding myself in a new place after getting used to, I think, the way the world had worked for me for so long. It felt a little bit like being sort of out in the middle of nowhere, and I took to it. I mean, I like it. It's for me. I finally found the balance. I had no management. I had no anything for a couple of years, and finally found my way back to a group of people who are helpful and that still leave me with the autonomy to do the things that I like to do, though.
Now, but for you, when you talk about your approach to music, there have been, I guess, for lack of a better word, phases that you went through. Something corporate, Jack's Mannequin. They were all different parts of the journey in terms of a different kind of audience, different kind of approach.
Right. Yeah. I think that's kind of the fun thing about, being willing to jump ship and change your name from time to time, even if now it's kind of changed it to my actual name.
You've pinned yourself in there now.
Yeah. I'm sort of stuck with this one, But I think it's funny, especially coming from like the Something Corporate era where it was like we were signed to like a punk label. We weren't a punk band, but, if you read if you look me up, it's like I was in a punk band, according to the world. And I think that, for me, I've always just been kind of project oriented. I've liked the idea of like I'm moving into a new phase of my life. Why call it the same thing, And if you listen to Something Corporate Records and the Jax Records and now the Wilderness Records, I think they have the mark of the time that they were conceived and the time that they were performed and I mean it's confusing to my fans probably more so than anything, but for me it makes a lot of sense.
But it's perspective too.
Definitely.
Let's talk about that in a moment. Why don't you play a song for the
sure.
fans, and we will talk about a lot of perspective from a lot of ways that you've gained perspective in music and life.
Sure.
But first, it's Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, and we're here live on 88.5 KCSN.
I took the train home, facing backwards, another hopeless chase, Echo Park, Indian summer. I wrote a new song about your new life, like steps I retrace, block letters in your little black notebook. Yeah. Flashbacks getting me close, I'm almost there. Headlight in the driveway, you stand in the window waiting. The stars are out tonight, 1 million fires burning. Out there on the high dive, you dance with your headphones on and I could watch you all night long, dancing to someone else's song. Dancing to someone else's song. Dancing to someone else's black jacket. Blue motorbike, past the mission in the moonlight, teenagers in the alley kissing. Smell the gas burn, saw your street sign. I'm doing 80 and a 45, throwing shadows you could hear if you listen. Yeah, flashbacks getting me close. I'm almost there. A light in the driveway, you stand in the window waiting. The stars are out tonight, 1 million fires burning out there on the high dive. You dance with your headphones on and I could watch you all night long, dancing to someone else's song. Dancing to someone else's song. Dancing to someone else's. Oh, oh, oh. Flashbacks getting me close, but I'm staring at someone else's. Headlights in your driveway, you stand in the window waiting. The stars are out tonight, 1 million fires burning. Meet me on the high dive. You'll dance with your headphones on so I could watch you all night long. Dancing to someone else's song. Dancing to someone else's song. Oh, dancing to someone else's song. To someone else's song. To someone else's song. To someone else's song.
It's 88.5 KCSN. We're joined today by Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. And we were talking earlier, Andrew, about going back. You were still in high school.
Yeah.
Doing gigs with something corporate, which is a different experience to literally really have a band and to really, you know, have a record and all those things as someone in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And to either become fond of or... lose your affinity for certain clubs for various reasons. That's an aside. But perspective, you know, when you start out in high school, you have no idea what you're getting into, really, do you?
No, not at all. Especially when you're doing it with a group of your like teenage best friends. You know what I mean? It's, I think it's a very different approach to business when you're, you know, not only are you in business with your buddies, but you're in business with guys that you met when you're 14, 15 years old. It's a pretty interesting and significant shift in a paradigm, you know, from being friends to being, you know, partners in this weird endeavor that is sort of still lets you be a total idiot if you want to be, you know.
And at that age, you find that often, you know, it shifts to the, yeah, you know, let's just be idiot side more often than not.
What puts you in a more permanent state of arrested development than being in a band for a living? Yeah, it's kind of the
not
deal.
Much.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you know, as you evolved, and you talk about as your music evolves, obviously your perspective evolves as you moved into Jack's Mannequin. The song started in many ways to take a more personal bent, and certainly there was a greater degree of to some degrees, melodicism.
Yeah.
They started to come to the forefront. Then something happened to you that was life-changing. And it's part of what we're going to be talking today, not only Dear Jack, but your upcoming Dear Jack golf tourney. And I think this is a time when people need to understand, if they don't already know your story, some of the things you dealt with at a young age and one that gives perspective.
Yeah, when I started the Jack's Project, you know, like you're saying, like I was steeped deeply in Beach Boys and, you know, like had kind of gotten to this this place where, you know, the Something Corporate guys and I think we just knew we weren't as good of friends as we used to be. And I think rather than doing what a lot of bands do, which is stay together because they've got fans and this might be their shot, you know, we said, like, let's not do that. Let's stay friends. And we really did. And I still see those guys often and are close. So yeah, it began this sort of this Jack's Mannequin phase where I was back making music, I think entirely for the right reasons, without a lot of things standing in my way, you know, because I was just having fun. And yeah, on our first tour as Jack's Mannequin, we were just, you know, I didn't want to be like, it's the guy from Something Corp. We didn't put it in any of the ads. We just like went out and played these like punk rock bars all over the country. Just trying to get people excited about this from, you know, aside from just the Something Corp. Stuff. And it was while I was, we had finished the album and I was on the first tour. We were about 3 weeks into that first like kind of van tour, and had gotten to New York, and I found out that, you know, a number of problems that had been adding up, voice troubles and all these sorts of things that I eventually went and saw a doctor for, were the result of what had been a blood disease. Leukemia was living with me and in me at the time. And yeah, it certainly, it turns the world on its axis at that moment.
When here you are, still very young, going into a second phase of a professional career, and, you know, label, tour, fans, everything, you know, that you could hope for.
Yeah.
You know, if your career, your musical career, which, as you well know, doesn't always need, you know, there's no guarantees,
yeah,
but you were finding a second phase of that career. And then when a doctor gives you that kind of news, how did you go back to the band? Even like, you know, how did you go back to the tour? I mean, wasn't it?
It was crazy. I mean, you know, like I said, everything becomes, there's actually this window, this sort of halo effect of being diagnosed where, at least for me, and I've talked to other people who've had similar experiences, but everybody has their own experience. For me, I mean, at the time that I was diagnosed, I had been working so hard. You know, it's like you said, you have one band that, I mean, the two Something Corporate records, you know, were at that point probably, like, they were nearly gold records. We were playing huge shows, and to take the risk to start something new was already, you know, crazy. And I put everything into it because I really felt like this is actually the music I'm supposed to be making. This is the part of my career that is like the moment that should get me to the next level. And so I aside from that, I was 21, 22 years old. I mean, needless to say, I was like partying my ass off,
right,
you know, day and night. And it was awesome. You know, the same, you know, I think, you know, people at that age and you're just having a blast. But there was enough going on in my life that was stressful and that was intense, that there was this moment where I felt like, well, you know what, like maybe this was supposed to happen. Maybe I am supposed to take a step back here and really figure out what's right. And it was that time that, I mean, it brought me back together with my girlfriend, who I was separated from at the time. And, you know, we're married and 8 years now and have a kid. And, you know, so there were a lot of things. It did put a lot in perspective in a sense. And there is that halo effect of like the year of your recovery, where all of a sudden you're just like, you know, you feel like things are making sense. For me, I think it was the aftermath of all that, where as years kind of collected and you go, wow, I really like kind of had my wings clipped right at the moment where I think everything was supposed to skyrocket, you know, and that took me a lot of time to sort of make right in my own head. Yeah.
But you also centered your life, you know, you were grounded, not in the sense of, you know, you didn't crash and burn.
Right.
You started crash. you really understood, yeah, you know, life had a meaning to you. And you, while you were beginning, I think part of what Jack's Mannequin was you were taking your music more personally and more seriously in tone and in perspective.
Yeah.
But now, you know, music ends up having a whole new perspective to you.
Yeah, it does. And it became tricky. I mean, making a second Jack's Mannequin record after all that, it was like, wow, what do I write about now? You know, how do I tackle, you know, cause I've always been, even in the early days, even, you know, from, it's always, there's always had to be a thread of sort of me and truth and something that I'm connecting to at the moment inside of a song. So when all of a sudden the things that you're really looking at in life are, you know, are hospitals and sort of the fear that goes along with that. Like, you know, you're supposed to be fearless when you're in your early 20s, and it certainly puts a fear in you in the following years, you know, that it could come back and that, you know, and I think trying to find my voice on the second Jack's Mannequin record was a really, it took almost 3 years to make the album because it was just a, it was a tough thing to figure out how to slice into a, you know, 4-minute pop song, you know?
Well, you did succeed because you wrote songs. I know Swim was one that you did that was for you. The last time we talked, you told me that was a song that simply said, you got to get to shore.
Yeah.
You got to get there. So you found ways to put it into song. But you've also done other things that I want to talk to after you play another song. You know, the Dear Jack Foundation, and how not only did you deal with your own leukemia, but you started to become devoted to helping particularly other youth who have to deal with that. So let's talk about that in a moment. Why don't you play a song until then? What would you like to play now?
Awesome. Yeah, I'll do Swim. It seems appropriate.
Well, there you go. We set it up. Yeah, 88.5 KCSN.
It's as if you knew what was coming next. Perfect. All right. Yeah, let's try this. Okay.
You gotta swim, swim for your life, swim for the music that saves you when you're not so sure you'll survive. You gotta swim, and swim when it hurts. The whole world is watching, you haven't come this far to fall off the earth. Currents will pull you away from your love. Just keep your head above. I found a tidal wave begging to tear down the dawn. Memories like bullets, they fired at me from a gun. Crack in the arm, and now I swim for brighter days despite the absence of sun. Choking on salt water, but I'm not giving in, 'cause I swim. You gotta swim through nights that won't end. Yeah, you swim for your families, your lovers, your sisters, your brothers, your friends. You gotta swim through wars without cause. Yeah, let's swim for these lost politicians. They don't see the greed as a flaw. The currents will pull us away from our love. Just keep your head above. I found a tidal wave begging to tear down the dawn. Memories like bullets, they fired at me from a gun. With a crack in my arm, and now I swim for brighter days despite the absence of sun. Choking on salt water, but I'm not giving in. No, I'm not giving in. 'Cause I swim. You gotta swim, swim in the dark. There's no shame in drifting. Feel the tide shifting and wait for the spark. Gotta swim, don't let yourself sink. You'll find the horizon, I promise you it's not as far as you'd think. The currents will drag you away from your love. Just keep your head above. Head above, swim. Just keep your head above, swim. Swim. head above, swim, swim.
It's 88.5 KCSN. Sky Daniels, joined by Andrew McMahon. You talked about coming to grips with. But then you decided to form the Dear Jack Foundation, which a younger person in your position at the time might be understandable. It's like, hey, I got enough to deal with. Right. But you got outside of yourself and you tried to create the foundation, I guess, to help others deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was initially, I mean, truthfully, I have the fans to thank for that sort of chapter and the decision to actually start an organization. You know, we did, when I was diagnosed, we did sort of an in lieu of flowers thing, you know, and we designated a charity out of Orange County called the Pediatric Cancer Research Foundation. And they've done amazing work with leukemia. They're an organization that had a lot to do with eradicating or greatly improving the numbers for children's leukemia, starting back in like the 70s and 80s. And so we sort of said, if you really want to do something, you want to give something, give it to them, and ended up raising a tremendous amount of money for that organization. And fans were really galvanized, I think, by the fact that that I had gotten sick and they wanted to do something. So, you know, we figured let's put that to good use and let's take that and really make sure that we're focusing on initiatives that mean a lot to both me and to making a difference for people who end up in the same situation I did. You know, first our focus was really leukemia. So we started raising money for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We still do a walk with them every year for that organization. In the last 8 years, 9 years, we've raised over $500,000 in just the walks for them. And then I do tour dates and I do a concert up at the El Rey every year to support it as well. And slowly our focus has shifted from leukemia and blood cancers to what we've really found is in my opinion, like the new wave of something that needs change in cancer, which is this demographic, 15 to 39 year olds. They call it the AYA group, the adolescent young adult group. And there's just really been very little done in the last 30 years to help improve survival ratings for this demographic. It's the only flat line of improvement in all demographics of cancer. And cancer is the leading disease killer for this group of people. So it's crazy that with all the money going into research, there's just none going for this group. So that's what we do now. We're a small organization, so we do things like we help sponsor scholarships for young adult survivors to go to college, because a lot of kids get totally derailed when you're in high school and you're in college age and you get sick. It's like, it's a horrible thing. We do things, we work with First Ascents, which do adventure camps for young adult survivors. We also work with USC Children's LA here, and we've sponsored one of the very first young adult fellowships. So we're trying to, on a ground level, really make an impact where it counts for young adults.
See, it would seem to me, Andrew, that the person in swim who was trying to get their feet upon shore hit the ground running, because you just rattled through about 7-8 things that I'm thinking, yikes, that's a heck of a commitment. So I applaud you for that, and the fans, because you're right. You are right to see that they did, you know, the community that we hope exists between a performer and their audience. I think you have to feel blessed that you know you have a real community of fans behind you.
Yeah, they're incredible. I've been, you know, it's funny you talk about all these transitions I've made and the fact that I still, you know that I can move the ball over into these different arenas and still have people showing up. It's something that even other bands that have toured with me and or that I've opened up for, they see and are amazed, and I am every day, and thankful every day, because they keep me accountable, you know, and they make it they make the journey sort of that much more fun for me, and they really are the heart and soul of the foundation.
you you unwittingly or not gave me a nice segue by saying moving the ball, which we both discussed that neither one of us are very good at moving the ball when it comes to golf. But nonetheless, as far as the Dear Jack Foundation, you've set up a golf tournament that's upcoming. Why don't you talk to the fans and let them know about the Dear Jack Golf Tourney?
Yeah, we do. This will be our third year doing the tournament. Like you said, I'm a horible golfer, so I usually am making cocktails for people
around the
ninth hole. And the executive director of our organization, a guy named Steve Smith, is an awesome golfer and goes to tons of these charity golf tournaments. And so he said, I think we can do this. And I think we can do it. You know, do one that people are going to remember. So the last 2 years were a huge success. We did it up at TPC Valencia, which, you know, if you're a golfer, you probably know of that course because it's one of the best courses in California that you can play. And you actually, I think for the price of, I think it's cheaper to get on the course in doing our tournament than it is to actually play the course itself. So it's a really good deal. And you get breakfast, you get lunch, you get dinner, you get an amazing gift bag. And we've done, I mean, I think the last couple of years, between the 2 years, we've raised somewhere in the neighborhood of like $60,000 to $80,000 just doing that tournament. We're hoping to do another 30 or 40 this year. But yeah, if you hear this and you're a golfer, we still have foursomes available and it's a really great day up there.
Well, how would someone who would be interested, because we have a huge audience, particularly we have some of our community, the KCSN community, we find there's a strong community in the Valencia Santa Clarita area. So how would they, if they wanted to participate?
We can go to the website, the DearJackFoundation.com page, or you can tweet us at DearJackHQ on Twitter. And you'll have all the information there. It's really easy. I mean, it's literally, you just go online and you can click the sign up form and you can put your money there and buy a foursome. We also still have sponsorships and there's a lot of great people who come. It's definitely an entertainment industry driven event because that's where a lot of our connections are. So if you're looking to get out in front of, you know, big guys in the music business and TV, we also usually get some athletes out and stuff like that. So yeah, there's still availability to get involved, with the organization and with this event, which is, I want to say it's January 26th this year. So it's coming up here in another week or so.
Well, then let's make sure that we get people online and taking the opportunity to A, have a great time, and B, to support an incredible, incredible charitable organization in Dear Jack.
Thank you.
You know, it's... my family's been touched by, a young adult leukemia, and I watched how you were willing to jump right in, and you know, I salute you for that. You know, when we first talked early on, I don't even know if you even remember this, you did have a certain reticence.
Yeah,
I think you were still very much in the fear phase, and understandably, but now more and more, you know, you've really thrown yourself into having perspective and understanding and sharing that understanding and becoming part of. You know, making sure that everyone knows they're not in it alone. And we really, that's why we especially wanted to have you come up here today, so that people would support the Dear Jack Golf Tournament. But more importantly, they understand how much you give of yourself to helping others that have had the same situation you went through. And by the way, you have a new record.
Yeah.
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, which
that's
is tremendous.
Thank you, my friend.
And why don't you wrap things up and play something? Can you play something from the new album so that everyone, we can now focus on the I won't say mundane, seeing that this is how you eat,
of course.
But the music side of life with Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
Yeah, I'll do a song. I actually had my first child this past year, and miraculously, the song I wrote for her sort of right before she was born became the first single off the record. So her name's Cecilia. The song's called Cecilia and the Satellite. And, of course, it's the one I forgot to practice before I got here, so we'll see how we do. Cool. I locked myself in a hotel room, then waited all night for the walls to move. I loved some girls that I barely knew. I made some friends and I've lost some too. Crashed my car, I was 17.
my mother in the seat right next to me. The things I've learned from a broken mirror, how a face can change when a heart knows fear. For all the things my eyes have seen, the best by far is you. If I could fly, then I would know what life looks like from up above and down below. I'd keep you safe, I'd keep you dry. Don't be afraid, Cecilia, I'm the satellite and you're the sky. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Cafe crawled through Amsterdam. Been around the world with a punk rock band. And I've seen London and I played Japan. I've been knocked down, I got up again. For all the places I have been, I'm no place without you. If I could fly, then I would know what life looks like from up above and down below. I'd keep you safe, I'd keep you dry. Don't be afraid, Cecilia, I'm the satellite and you're the sky. Oh, and you're the sky. Oh, I'm the satellite. For all the things my hands have held, the best by far is you. If I could fly, then I would know what life looks like from up above and down below. I'd keep you safe, I'd keep you dry. Don't be afraid, Cecilia, I'm the satellite and you're the sky. And you're the sky. Oh, I'm the satellite. Oh, and you're the sky. Oh, and you're the sky.
It's 88.5 KCSN. We're joined by Andrew McMahon. Andrew, thanks for coming up, as always. It's good seeing you.
Yeah, good to see you too, man. Thanks for having me.
You know, we want to remind our listeners, please, you know, we ask here at KCSN, we're always asking for your support. We want you to support the Dear Jack Golf Tournament. You still have an opportunity to get a foursome. Sponsors can get involved. And also, the Dear Jack Foundation is an ongoing thing that even though the tourney is in a week, you can get more information and hopefully you can support this great, great charitable cause that Andrew has put a lot of his being into. And we want them to get connected to the new album.
Please do.
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. Get connected is a public radio term as opposed to the hard sell you get perhaps on commercial radio.
Let's get connected. I prefer that.
Get connected. Once again, it's Andrew McMahon, and we want to thank you for stopping by, Casey. And thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.